Do you want to fly somewhere? Anywhere in the world? Smart travelers call myflightsearch.com for the best deals on flight tickets. Going to Manila, Bangkok, London, how about Singapore? Call myflightsearch.com for the lowest flight tickets available. What about a local vacation? Let's say you want to fly to Vegas, Orlando, Miami, Los Angeles, or Denver. Pick up the phone and call myflightsearch.com right now. We have exclusive deals that you can't find anywhere else. The only way you can get these low airline prices is by calling us. We have so many low prices available, we can't possibly tell them to you right here and now. If you're flying somewhere anytime in the next 6 months and you want the lowest airline ticket prices anywhere, you owe it to yourself to save a ton of money. So pick up your cell phone and call myflightsearch.com right now.
Call 800-303-3398. 800-303-3398. That's 800-303-3398. Call now. 800-303-3398.
You're in a good place now. You are listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Live Your True Life Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. Today I want to talk about a recent experience I had and how it impacted my life. And I think many of you might be able to understand exactly where I'm coming from. Recently, I was in an auto accident, and it wasn't my fault, you know. And I ended up having to get in for an MRI because my back and my neck have been hurting so much since it happened a few weeks back. And so I scheduled that MRI, and I haven't had one in several years. And so I forgot the impact that it had on my life last time, and that's what I want to talk about. I want to talk about how being in an MRI machine for 2 hours had a direct impact on my life, and what it meant, what it felt like, and what it made me think of while I was in the machine. Because I believe that you can relate to this and understand where I'm coming from. And better yet, I'm going to talk about some of the things that it made me think about and how that directly relates to my quality of life. Some things that I haven't been really thinking about, other things that I've kind of put on the back burner, and some things that I realize I need to start doing to living my life more, being more passionate, doing more things, involving myself more, and getting more out of life. And I know some people might say, my God, you got a lot of information after being in a machine for a little over 2 hours. Well, yeah, I did. And, you know, it was one of the old school MRI machines where it's a very tiny tube. It's not an open space. Most of the people that have to use this machine actually use some sort of sedative to calm down, to relax, and I did not. And I'll be honest with you, I had 2 cups of espresso in the morning, and I'm so glad I didn't go for my third, because that would have been bad. Okay, that would have been bad. But I got there, you know, filled out all the forms, did everything I need to, paid all the money I need to pay, all that good stuff, and, you know, changed into the scrubs, put my stuff into a locker. And, you know, us types these days, us, you know, we want our phone at all times. We got to have that phone. And so I asked the lady, can I bring my phone? No, put that in your locker, please. You know, and I kind of knew that was going to be the case. But, you know, for some reason, I have forgotten what this experience is like. So I waited for 5 minutes. They brought me back to the machine. And, you know, I was going to lay down. Head, you know, goes closest to the machine. And your feet are essentially, you know, at the other end, away from the machine. And I didn't realize that I was going to have to do an IV for contrast. And so, you know, needles are not my... I get a little scared, I'll be honest with you, okay? I'm not freaking out, but I definitely don't look at somebody when they're giving me a shot, I'll tell you that. And the lady was very nice and very experienced, very smart radiologist. So we were talking and bantering back and forth, and she's like, you know, the first scan is going to be about 50 minutes. And I was like, oh, okay. And then she's like, the next one will be about 35, and then I'll do another one about 30. And I was like, oh, my Lord, I forgot how long this can be. And I had forgotten the size of this machine. I mean, it's hilarious how you can forget things after a few years. And I found that to be the first thing that we do, is to forget what we've gone through. We forget what we've gone through. And I find that interesting. That's why we have a tendency of going back to relationships that don't work and that sort of thing, because we don't remember all that stuff. Instead, we remember, you know, mostly all the good times for that matter, and I hope you do. But sometimes, you know, it can come back and kick us in the butt, especially in this situation where I was actually thinking before I went in there that I would be able to have my phone in there like a moron, right? Which you're not going to have your phone in there. There's no way. You can't even hold your hands up. So I get in there and she's like, okay, so here's the little thing that you hold in case you need to get out of the tube. And I know that they can talk to you, but you can't talk to them. They can't hear you. And she put a headset on me in case I wanted some music. And she said, what kind of music do you want? And I said, well, you know, let's do classical. Classical's calm. It's calming. And I said, but if you can, kind of, you know, turn it down a little bit. Because at first it was on some sort of pop music. And, I mean, I would have been freaking out if I would have listened to that in that tube. Anyway, so she said, oh, I'll turn it down when I get into the other room. No big deal. So, you know, she slides me in a little bit into the tube. She goes into the other room, and then she slides me in. And so at first, I'm okay. I'm holding on to the oh crap thing that you gotta push in case, you know, you gotta get out of there. I'm holding on to that for dear life just right now. And everything's okay until I get almost all the way up into that tube. And, you know, there is no light at the end of the tunnel kind of thing. And it kind of scared me. And for a few minutes, I was really having to be, you know, mind over matter. I had to really, really think about things. I had to let things go, and I had to just kind of breathe. Because really, I mean, you know, from my nose to the top of that thing is, you know, about a finger's width. Okay, so there's not a lot of room. And, you know, for a lot of people, it's a very claustrophobic feeling, hence why a lot of people take a lot of sedatives or something to sleep or relax to take their mind off of it. And no, I didn't take anything. I had to go to work after, and I needed to drive myself. And, you know, even though my husband had offered to drive me, but he's going to sit there for 2 hours and wait around. Yeah, sure. So, I mean, I'm sure he would, but I mean, that's kind of painful. I can deal with anything, you know? But there was a few minutes there where I was like, oh, my Lord, my stars. Okay, keep it together. And I was holding on to the, you know, the oh crap button thinking, you know, well, you know, it's kind of like one of those things that you kind of, it's like a squeezy, you know, it's attached to like to a wire, to, you know, connection where they have it. And so I guess if you squeeze that thing, it's essentially like, you know, pushing that button in an airline that calls for the stewardess type thing. You know what I'm saying? So they know that you need them to come in. So I was holding on to that, and I just kind of just relax and try to, like, slow down my breathing. And at the same time, you are attached into, like, this headgear thing, so you can't really move. But yet you can still move because your body's not used to laying that still. And, you know, your neck in that type of a situation. And so you gotta stay real, real ultra still to get this stuff done. I mean, it's amazing how still you get to. So not only are you in this small confined environment, but you're also having to stay really, really, really still. Okay, so you got that going on, and that kind of started making me think about, you know, how we take for granted, you know, all the time that we can move around. You know, I mean, how we take for granted all the time that we can move around. Because I understand when people are in wheelchairs and stuff, I mean, that's a whole different deal. I mean, if you are literally in the need of a wheelchair and you have to take it everywhere you go, that's a lot of work. And, you know, think about it. That's a lot of work. I mean, to you know, to get into the wheelchair, to wheel it to where you need to go, if you need to get into the car, to have someone there with you or to have a system where you can, you know, where you can get your wheelchair into the van and you can drive yourself. I mean, that's a lot of work. And I began to start thinking about those types of things. And as I was thinking about that stuff, I was thinking about how I take for granted my ability to walk down the street. How I take for granted my ability to get on a plane, to get on a boat, to walk my dog. You know, and, you know, how sometimes my dog will walk in front of me on a walk, and I'll almost trip and fall, and I'll be like, doggone it, you know, what the heck is going on here? But it's pretty cool that I even have the ability to almost fall. And I started thinking about that, you know, I started thinking about how funny it is that we forget certain things, and then how interesting it is that we take for granted how we can get around. And then I started focusing on this, what I believe to be a pin mark on the top of the machine. And I was focusing on that, and I was listening. The classical music began, and it was very interesting music. And then you had all the sounds of an MRI machine. And if you've ever been in an MRI machine, I mean, it's like mechanical dolphins talking to you in a really high-pitched volume. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you could have mechanical magnetic dolphins, I mean, it does. It sounds funky. And I started, like, listening to these sounds, and I had, like, the classical music going at the same time. And so I said, what if I did a meditation? And ever so often, I would think about the meditation, and then I'd go back into the, oh, God, I hope I don't need the button to get out of here so I don't freak out. And it was a very interesting dichotomy of stuff going on. So do I do a meditation, and do I freak out? And I eventually just kind of calmed it down, and I was there just kind of thinking, and I was focusing on that pin mark. And I was thinking, what if you were in space? You know, we talk about space, and, you know, I don't know about you, but I always kind of wanted to be in space. You know, I wanted to be with NASA. I mean, I thought that'd be so cool to work for NASA. I mean, like, I could work for Elon Musk or something like that, go up into space. I mean, he's got rockets. I don't know about that, but, yeah, it could be kind of interesting. But then I was thinking about, could I really be in a rocket? Could I really be in like, a tube going XYZ speed into the unknown? You know, at least with the MRI machine, I knew I could get out. When I return, I'll be talking more about how this experience impacted my life and how some of the things that I felt may impact your life and change your life forever. Stay tuned, because Live Your True Life Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in. I'll be back this time in two shakes. Are you a leader in your community, a CEO, an executive of your company? With those roles come great responsibility. And with that responsibility comes stress. Do you feel as though you are being heard? You need help just like anybody else to take care of situations because you're too busy taking care of others. Who can you talk to? We all need a sounding board to discuss our life, our current situations, our needs, and our future. Who do you have in your corner? I work with CEOs, leaders around the country, film and television talent, and I can be your sounding board. Now with digital coaching, I can be there for you to help inspire, direct, and effectively listen to your needs and your honest, authentic perspective. Go online to Ashley Burgess, Ashley, BERGES.com, AshleyBurgess.com. Click on the contact page, send me an email, and I will respond in 24 hours so we can set up your coaching session so that you can continue to live your true life.
There's more than one way to invest in your education. Investing in the right products, securities, and real estate generates secure and sound futures. What about an investment that retains its value? Consider college real estate. College real estate can provide housing for students and generate returns for their families. Through this special offer from Austin iLabs, you can download the free workbook from collegerealestate.com to see if this investment is right for you. Go to collegerealestate.com/radio.
I have to get to sleep.
Tom had a stressful day, and now he can't shut down at bedtime.
Need sleep.
To fall asleep fast, millions of people turn to Unisom Sleep Gels. They're non-habit forming and quickly help you sleep soundly so you wake recharged. Tom? Unisom Sleep Gels. A stressful day deserves a restful night. Use as directed. Active ingredient, diphenhydramine hydrochloride.
Do you have an old car sitting in your driveway? How would you like to learn a hassle-free way to get rid of it, help kids in need, and get a great tax donation in the process? It's real easy. One simple free call to our car donation hotline is all it takes. Call the Neshama Foundation at 800-721-6723, 800-721-6723. We'll come pick your car up for free and give you a tax donation for the full value of the car, running or not. The value of your unwanted car will go to help kids in need. It's fast and easy. Just call us and your car will be gone and on its way to helping children in 48 hours. And you get a nice tax deduction. Call the Neshama Foundation now to get rid of your car, help kids, and get a tax write-off.
Call 800-721-6723, 800-721-6723, 800-721-6723. That's 800-721-6723.
Here's George Foreman with InventHelp.
Hi, I'm George Foreman. Do you have an idea for a new product or invention? People ask me all the time, George, how do I get my idea in front of companies? How do I get a patent? What do I do next? Do you have the same questions? I'll tell you like I'll tell them all. Call my friends at InventHelp.
Call InventHelp today for free information. InventHelp has been helping inventors for more than 30 years and has sales offices nationwide. InventHelp can submit your invention to companies who are interested in receiving new ideas. If you have an idea and want to try to patent it and submit it to companies, you should call InventHelp today for free information.
Listen, I can't guarantee a company will be interested in your idea, but I believe every inventor deserves the opportunity to step into the ring and take their best shot. Put InventHelp in your corner.
To get your free inventor's information, call 1-800-351-1453. That's 1-800-351-1453. Again, 1-800-351-1453.
And jump in the deep end on Perspectives. Now, here's Ashley.
Welcome back live to Live Your True Life Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. Today I'm talking about a recent experience of having a long MRI, 2 hours plus, and how being in that older MRI machine that was very teeny tiny, like a tube, how that impacted my life at such a high degree. Now, I've had MRIs before, sure. It's been several years, and I forgot how claustrophobic it can be. I forgot how small it is. I forgot how, how tiny the area is, how confined it is, and how still you have to lay. And so it was very interesting. And so, you know, after I got over the first few minutes, and I realized how we as humans have a tendency of forgetting or glossing over things that happened in our past, because I can't even believe I asked that lady if I could take my phone in there when you can't even raise your hands in that tube. Hilarious. You know, the other thing was is that, you know, when you can't move around and stuff, it really puts things into perspective. When you can't move, you've got to stay still. Your neck is in like this contraption to hold it into place so that they can really get these scans. Your arms are to your side. And my legs were kind of leaning out because I couldn't lay straight with my legs, with my knees straight out because my back was hurting. So I had to kind of lay with my knees kind of rounded out. And over a period of time, it can be kind of painful. I mean, you can feel it. And I was wondering, you know, what would happen if you were like in some sort of space contraption? You know, that you were going through space and dealing. And I've always wanted to work with NASA or Elon Musk or something like that to do something pretty cool. You know, I always thought that would be really neat. And I understand that an MRI machine is different from a rocket or something like that. But at the same time, I mean, you're in a confined environment that you can't leave. I mean, think about going up into space. You can't leave. You can't walk out the door. Sure, later on you can put on your, you know, you can put on your space uniforms and all that good stuff and tether on to something and be weightless on the side of, you know, your space station, whatever. That sounds cool. But until then, if you were going to go to Mars, it would only, what, take you 9 months to be able to walk around outside, you know, per se. And that's an interesting thing. I think we take for granted our freedom. And that's something that I really want to talk about right now and address. I think we take for granted, you know, our freedom, because we do have freedom. We have freedom to move around. We have freedom to walk around, to do things. We have that freedom. And like I was talking about earlier, a lot of times we take for granted the fact that we can walk, that we can go outside the door, that we can actually walk around, that we can actually venture out. And I find that very interesting. We get so caught up in our lives that we forget all the amazing stuff that's going on in our lives and all the stuff that we need to be thankful for. And that's why I'm doing this show today, because it really impacted my life. And as I was focusing on what I believe to be a pin mark on the top of that tube, as I'm looking, you know, it's only about a finger's width between my nose and the top of that tube, I was focusing on that pin mark. And I began to think of certain things. And the first thing that really came to mind was my belief in God. And that came to mind, and it hit home. And it was great. And I was really having a conversation with God and having this conversation and, you know, just thinking about stuff and just having a real cool, fluid conversation. And that's when I thought maybe doing some sort of meditation would be possible. But, you know, I went in and out of, you know, being claustrophobic to the idea of doing a meditation. And I was able to kind of calm mind over matter. I was able to kind of calm my mind. Because I remember when I first got in that tube and they pushed me all the way back, I literally, for a few seconds, I was holding that squeeze thing. And I was thinking, man, I'm going to have to get out of here. They're going to end up having to reimburse me. I can't do this. I got to get out of here. I'm not going to know if my back's all messed up or not. I'm just going to have to live with this pain and hope that it, you know, it's not debilitating for the rest of my life. I mean, it was going off to that. And how many times in our life do we let our brain talk us out of doing something that we need to do? How often in our life do we allow our brain to talk us out of what we need to do? And I always think that's interesting because it almost talked me out of getting that MRI because I was so doggone claustrophobic. Like it was shooting imagery of, first it was like an elevator with smoke and you can't get out. And then it was showing me in this tube and like the air decreasing around me. You know, I was like, what in the heck is going on here? I mean, it is trying to psych me out. And how many times do our minds try to psych us out on a daily basis? I bet a lot. I mean, I know that my mind has psyched me out before. It has. I've been there where I just, all I need to do is step up to the plate and do what I need to do. And I'm so scared to do it because I don't want somebody to look at me like I'm a fool. I don't want to be made fun of. I mean, come on, you know, check the boxes of insecurity because my mind is psyching me out. Oh, they're not going to respond that way. You know, you send that, that's not going to happen. You know, you put yourself out there and it's like, I've had to override that my whole life. But at the same time, it still comes around and you go, my gosh, how many times does this get in the way of me living my life? And I ask you right now, when was the last time that your mind made you fear something, talk you out of something that was actually good for you? Okay. And I don't know about you, but the last time that I was talked out in my own mind about doing something that was good for me, it sucked. It sucked. I was actually going to go somewhere to this event, and I was going to meet a bunch of new people, and I was really looking forward to it. And I kind of let my timing go amok, you know, and that was a subconscious way of derailing myself. I let timing get in the way, and I stayed at a meeting too long, and so I was already running late. Okay, so you see how we kind of set ourselves up for failure sometimes, put those roadblocks up so that we don't succeed. And so I conveniently put that roadblock up where I was running late, and I knew I was running late. I should have left earlier, and I knew I should have left earlier, and I had the chance to leave earlier, and I didn't take it. Okay, so I get in the car, and I'm driving to this other meeting, and I pull up there, and I'm already 25 minutes late. And the parking lot's packed, and nobody's going in and nobody's going out, meaning it's in the middle of it. And I drove around for a second to try to find a parking spot, and the next spot that I could find was in the far back, and I'd have to walk all the way up, which is not that big of a deal. But I started, like, putting all these things in my head. Well, if there's not a spot up in front, then you're not meant to be here, and you need to just go on, and, you know, you're already late anyway, and everybody's going to look at you anyway. And you don't need that, and you should make a better impression, you know, you shouldn't do that, you know, you should make a better impression. So I just started just lambasting myself about how my impression was bad, and how I don't want to park all the way down there, and that's a sign that I shouldn't be there, and I shouldn't have been running late, and maybe that's a sign, too, that I just need to go back to the office and work, and I'm just trying to get out of work, and that's the only reason why I'm here to begin. All these things are going through my head, and I remember I was like, okay, fine. And so I drove out of the lot, took a right, headed down the highway back to work. And I felt so bad. And I wanted to turn around and I didn't. And that was very interesting because all the way to work, I was so out of sync from that point on in that day because I allowed my mind to talk me out of doing something that I probably needed to do. And it talked me out in such a way because our minds know how to get to us. It's our judge, jury, and executioner. We know how to get to ourselves. We're our worst critic. I mean, and we set ourselves up like perfectly. Perfect crime, right? Oh, you were already late. Oh, people are going to look at you. Oh, it already shows that you don't care enough about this. Oh, look. And then you get that whole other, thought process. Oh, well, it's already in the back of the lot. And, and it's just telling me that I shouldn't be here. And it would have been a lot easier if I was supposed to be in the meeting. All that just crud. And I realized that it was kind of similar right when I got into that machine. And, thinking God that I didn't have that third espresso, oh my Lord. But part of me wanted to end it right then and there, and I needed to go through with that test. I had to get that done. I had to get that done for my own health. And it mattered. And so it was very interesting how in one split second I could have ended that. And I could have literally, screwed up my whole future not knowing what happened to my back. So think about it. When was the last time you did that in your life? When was the last time that you let your brain override a situation that was for the good for you? And how do you look at that situation now? And how do you take that past and make sure that you don't do it again? And learn from that mistake and feel it the next time that your mind is trying to override something good and see it for what it is and run right through that barricade and be successful in your life. Stay tuned. I'll be talking more about the situation, what I learned, and how it impacts your life as well as mine. Live Your True Life Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess. I'll be back this time in two shakes.
I owed the IRS $10,000.
The IRS garnished my wages.
They put a lien on my house.
The IRS is the most powerful collection agency in the world. They do not give up until you pay.
I couldn't sleep. We were being audited. I called Tax Solutions Now, and a great big weight was lifted off my shoulders.
I called Tax Solutions Now, and they got the IRS off my back.
Tax Solutions Now had my wage garnishment lifted in 48 hours.
Tax Solutions Now can get you help. Our agents know the rules, can stop the pain, and get you the best deal. We connect you with a team of former IRS agents and tax professionals who will get the IRS off your back.
We saved our home and overcame the most powerful collection agency in the world.
Call Tax Solutions Now. Time is running out.
Call 800-979-0166. 800-979-0166. 800-979-0166. 800-979-0166.
If you're 85 or younger, would you like peace of mind and comfort for your family? We're Final Expense Direct with an urgent message for you. The average funeral today costs over $8,000, but the most you'll get from government benefits is $255. How will your family pay the difference? We can help. Our senior plans start as low as just a dollar a day and pay up to $30,000 for a funeral and other final expenses. Peace of mind is easy. There's no medical exam. You'll have lifetime coverage, and your plan can't be canceled as long as you pay your premiums. Call now for free information about our senior plans. Answer a few simple questions and receive approval right on the phone. Plus, call right now, and we'll give you a discount prescription card for free. Call 800-595-6619. That's 800-595-6619. Again, 800-595-6619.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right. General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for under $30,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet under $30,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic historic lows. You can't afford to wait.
Call 800-605-5370. 800-605-5370. Call 800-605-5370.
This is Jake Busey, and you're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Live Your True Life Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. Today I'm talking about my experience in the MRI machine and how it impacted my life at such a great level. And right before the break, I was talking about how our mind can override some of the best things that we need to do by telling us that, well, it's not going to work out, or we should just go home, or don't do that, and you offset your success. And I gave an example right before the break about how I was going to this meeting, and I was very excited about it, but I was on the way, I was leaving another meeting, I was running late, I was purposely, subconsciously, sabotaging myself by not actually sticking to the timetable that I needed. And by the time I got to the meeting, the parking lot was full. Then I basically talked myself out of going because the only spot was in the far back. And I said to myself, well, if I was really supposed to be at this meeting, there would be a spot up in front for me. And then I ended up leaving and second-guessing myself all the way back to the office, and my whole timing was off. And all that came into my mind because when they put me in that small tube for a few minutes, I really wanted to push that button and say, let me out, I'm done with this. When I can't do that because I got to find out what's wrong with my back. And I found that very interesting. Anyway, as the minutes went by and 1 hour goes by in the tube, and they take you out and they say, okay, we're going to start the second test now. And you know, you get that little bit of, okay, I'm out of the tube for a second. I got to go back in. I'm okay. I can do this. And you get a little antsy. It's funny how you get a little antsy. And when you're having to lay so still, any slight movement, you know, will mess up one of these scans. And so you have to be really, really, really cautious about moving. Almost to the point of not being able to breathe deeply, you know. So I get back into the tube. And this time, I can feel the air. And so I'm not all the way back in there. So it was kind of nice because you can kind of feel the air. And that was cool. And I like that. I was like, okay, nice. This is good. Anything more is good. And so I get back in the tube. And sure enough, 20 minutes in, the lady talks into my headset and says, okay, you just moved through that scan. We're going to have to redo it. So, okay, we got another 20 minutes tacked onto this hour. So we got 80 minutes left on this test. And so you have to kind of put yourself and your whole thought process into perspective, and you have to override the fact that this is 80 minutes. You've got to just let it go. And it's interesting because it reminded me of how it is to have to go with the flow and to know that you got to stick it out. You got to stick it out. There's no way around it. I mean, sure, you can leave, but what good is that going to do to you? And what good is that going to do for you? And so I realized that in life, we have to stick it out. And that's across the board. I mean, we got to stick out life. I mean, because I believe to some degree that if we don't stick it out and we leave early by our own demise, that we get to come back again and try it all over again. And I know that might sound weird to other people, and some people might agree with me on that, but you know what? I do feel like there's no easy way out, okay? And I think oftentimes we can look at other people and think that their lives are better than ours. Is it really or is it not? Who knows? But we really can't even decide because we're not in their life. We have no idea. We would literally have to put on a suit of theirs, like their body, and actually be in their minds and in their hearts and actually look at life that way to understand, are these people happy? Do I want to be them? All that good stuff. And in the process, you have no idea. And oftentimes we do see other people as having an easier life, but are they? Probably not. And we got to stick this life out. We got to stick to our ticket. We got to go through the process. And sometimes the process can be tough. Sometimes the process can be overwhelming. Sometimes the process is tedious. And that's what I kind of felt about this MRI machine, is that this process is tedious. However, it might be tedious and it might be difficult, but we've got to deal with it. We've got to go through it. If we don't go through with it, we don't get to the next level. And that's like anything in life. If we want to be better, more successful, paid more, more spiritually aware, understand who we are better, understand what we stand for, overcome the stereotypes, all that great stuff. If we want to do that, what do we have to do? We got to work. We got to do the soul work. We got to do that personal work that a lot of people never want to do because they don't want to do it. They don't want to do the personal work. You know, as a therapist, you know how many times I hear people not wanting to do the personal work? Not wanting to do the work. They don't want to put the work in. Oh, man, you're talking about going to therapy? Ah, man, I'm not into that. I just need a pill, okay? I just need a pill. I need a pill to make myself feel better. That's all I need. And you know how hard it is to prescribe certain pills, especially like antidepressant and mood stabilizers. They can work and they might not work, okay? And it takes weeks to find out if they work. And that's not a cure-all. Sure, that might help to have equilibrium after a massive situation like a death in the family or something that really has just gotten you buried under and unable to see the light. But that soul work that you have to do, understanding who you are, what do you stand for, what are your beliefs, what is your understanding, what is so important, what makes you tick? And when you figure out that stuff, yeah, that's a lot of work, I know, but I did it. I did it. I mean, I've done it, and I do it every day. And you know, I think a lot of us wonder in the beginning, will we find out something we don't want to find out? And I'm here to tell you, no. No. You're going to find out some awesome stuff that you never dreamed of. It's only when we suppress ourselves and get scared of our personal diagnosis that something can come up. I mean, for the most part, I believe everybody is good at heart. And I believe that everybody's soul starts off great. And it's just the experiences and it's the impact that we have from the negative experiences that we have to come back. You know, and to not let those things tear us apart. And to realize that your heart doesn't ever break. I mean, your heart is... That's what holds us together. That's what binds. That heart is more intelligent than your mind ever was. And I'm not talking about falling in love and, you know, oh, I'm in love with her. No, I'm talking about your mind is hyper intelligent, but your heart supersedes it. You know, when you're born, it's your tongue and your heart show up first. And it's very interesting stuff in the womb. And there's a reason for that. That means that you need those most, right? You need those most. Very interesting, right? Your brain doesn't show up first. It's not like a big brain in the womb. Yeah, and that's interesting. So that means that that is like the life cycle, the beginning of life, meaning that's the most important things that you need. And so that means that your heart is it. And everything is housed there. And I think we overstep that because we believe that our brain is so intelligent. We got to use more of our brain. You always hear these pills on the market. You know, take this pill and you'll use half your brain. You know, everybody's like, oh my God, half my brain. I'm only using 10% of my brain right now. So if I use half my brain, I mean, I'm going to be a genius. I'm going to like be able to teleport and stuff. You know, well, you might be a lot smarter, but not going to change the fact that we have to get good with us and our heart to really see what's here and to see what's not here and to see what's here, but what you don't see, right? So there's like all these different dynamics of life. And as I'm laying in that tube, okay, where I can't move and we're going through this test again because I moved in the middle of the test, you know, I realized you can't shortcut anything and you got to play by the rules. And in this case, the rule is you got to get to know yourself. There is no way out. You can't fast food this. You can't. There's no fast way of learning about yourself because that's what you're here for. It's a lifetime journey. And your lifetime journey is something you need to get to understand. You got to understand yourself. And in order to understand yourself, you got to love yourself. You got to get over the judgments and the toxic relationships in the past and the mistrust and all that stuff. You got to get over that, because that ain't going to help you. That isn't going to help you at all. I wake up often and I look at social media, and this is why I took Facebook off my phone for a couple months, is you'd always see somebody saying, well, I'm hard now. I'm never going to trust anybody. Never going to fall in love again. Never going to. Never. And you know that's not true, but yet you're like, come on. I mean, the more you say that to yourself, the more you're going to believe that love is just like this just romantic thing, you know, that you have between people. And the funny thing about it is love is the universal language for all. You're supposed to love everything and everybody and every animal and every plant. When you figure out how to love yourself, you are impacted at that level that you realize that your journey takes another course, okay? And that journey evolves into something that is just absolutely, utterly amazing that you never thought would be. When I return, I'll be talking about more about what I learned and how this impacted my life directly. Check out my website, AshleyBurgess.com, AshleyBurgess.com, and live your true life perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess. Be back in two shakes. It's Ashley here, and are you wanting to bring more joy and happiness to your life? Are you feeling stressed out by watching negative media? Feeling burnt out by day-to-day life and wanting a new perspective? Go to AshleyBurgess.com, AshleyBurgess.com, and find my new book, The 10-Day Challenge to Live Your True Life. The 10-Day Challenge will help you bring more joy and happiness into your life, eliminate a lot of negativity and stress, and feel renewed again. Check out the 10-Day Challenge. Go to my website, AshleyBurgess.com, and pick up your copy today. Are you in need of a new perspective? Tired of people asking you how you're feeling? Wanting some real answers to life's tough situations? Feel as though some are always talking about emotions, while others offer textbook solutions that don't work? Are you wanting real, powerful, lasting change in your life? If this is you, go to AshleyBurgess.com, AshleyBurgess.com, click on the contact page, send me an email, and let's make that powerful change together.
Are you married? Do you and your husband both have term life insurance? If you both don't, you should. You have a lot to protect. Call now, get a free quote for your husband, and while you're at it, get a quote for yourself too, because you both need term life insurance. Call now. 800-915-9658, 800-915-9658, 800-915-9658. Rates are at all-time lows. We'll shop over 30 top-rated companies to get you the best possible rates. Term life insurance, it's the perfect way to protect the quality of your family's lifestyle. You and your husband both need term life insurance, so call now for a free quote for the both of you. 800-915-9658. 800-915-9658. 800-915-9658.
Are you ready to leave your corporate job behind and be your own boss? Have you ever dreamed of owning a business? Do you have $50,000 or more sitting around in a 401k? If you answered yes, it's time to invest in yourself by buying or starting a business or franchise. IRS code allows you to use money in a 401k to invest in a business with absolutely no penalties or taxes. At Guidant Financial, we've helped more than 11,000 entrepreneurs invest $3 billion in retirement assets into the small businesses and franchises of their dreams. So if you've got $50,000 or more in a 401k and you're looking for a way to start a business, call Guidant Financial now for free information and to learn more. Operators are standing by for your call. 800-570-6630. 800-570-6630. 800-570-6630. That's 800-570-6630.
Hi, I'm Joan London. If you're worried about your parent or loved one living alone, like I was, and you want reliable senior care information, then call A Place for Mom, the nation's largest senior living referral service.
Finding an apartment that was on the courtyard with the view of the trees, the view of the ducks, the stream, the creek, all of that, that was what I needed.
You'll get free information on assisted living, Alzheimer's care, nursing homes, even important financial information. Here's the number.
To speak to a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 800-506-0320. That's 800-506-0320.
A Place for Mom is a free service, and you can trust them to help you. So if you're struggling to find reliable senior living information, there's A Place for Answers, A Place for Mom.
To speak to a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 800-506-0320. That's 800-506-0320.
If you're over the age of 50 and considering buying an annuity in the next 60 days, I have some important news for you. Don't buy an annuity until you understand the pros and cons of annuities. A free book to help you maximize your retirement income from television host and three-time author Josh Melberg has been released. This book reveals little-known truths about annuity strategies in simple-to-understand terms. Grab a pen right now, because we are about to offer you this free book that unlocks the five little-known secrets we believe baby boomers and seniors should know before buying an annuity. Call 800-935-0752 now, and you'll receive a free copy of Josh Milberg's book, Next Gen Annuity Strategies Revealed. As a bonus, we'll also send you a copy of The Number One Mistakes Retirees Are Making With Their Investments Today, and a free DVD on how you can get up to 33% more income in retirement. Call 800-935-0752. That's 800-935-0752. Employees of J.D. Milberg Financial have the appropriate licenses for the products they offer.
You could be my luck.
Get in here. You're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Live Your True Life Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. Today I'm talking about the impact that a recent MRI exam had on my life. Being in a small, confined space, and how interesting that was for two and a half hours to experience. And it really put some things in perspective. And I've had one before, but it was a long time ago. And it really did put things in perspective. Like I was talking about, that we often forget the freedom we have, the ability to walk anywhere and go anywhere you want to. You know, better yet, too, dealing with the fact that we have to stick this out. We have to stick to our ticket. Life's a journey, and getting to know ourselves and realizing that everything that's worth doing takes time. Everything that's worth doing takes time. And when we realize how important that is, we understand the time that it takes. When we understand the journey, and we understand that there is a set time probably that we figured out in the future when things happen, that we have to look at every step of the road and love it and rejoice about it and continue on in our life. And it was interesting because the one thing I did know is that I was going to come out of that tube eventually. I was going to have another chance to walk around with my freedom, which was nice. But it was interesting because it was almost like being locked up for a few hours and then being able to taste freedom again. And it was very interesting, but it also had the health dynamic too. You know, at least I can walk and I can talk. What if I was in this tube for a different reason? What if they didn't have to tell me that, you know, not to worry about moving because I couldn't move? And that impacted me too, because then I realized, wow, not only have I taken some things for granted, but wow, I'm a lucky individual to be told, hey, we got to redo this scan because you were moving. And that impacted me like in a big level. Because it's important to us. It's important to the fact that your life is very important. And every stage of it, every minute of every hour has its importance. And when we realize the importance of that, we understand the journey and we understand the impact that we have in this journey. And we realize the journey might be tedious at times, but so is our journey and our process. And we have to do the personal soul work. You know, one of the things that I work on with my clients is finding purpose. But part of finding purpose is finding that personal love for yourself and being able to embrace yourself and overcome the negative self-image that you've had in your mind since you were a child. You know, a lot of us were told some negative stuff, or we bought into a negative bill of goods that kind of made us feel bad. Felt like we couldn't do stuff. Felt like we weren't smart enough, not good enough, not pretty enough. All these things in your head that override you doing something at the level that you should. And it's a very interesting dynamic. So it's like we get told this stuff at an early age. We fall for it. And then we take the rest of our lives overcoming these things in our mind to get rid of the negative broken record and to move on in our life. Very interesting. But some of us never get through that negative broken record because we never do the work. And so instead of it, we're constantly in a negative process. And we don't just take that time to really work on ourselves. And I spent a lot of time working on myself throughout my entire life. But, I mean, my real soul searching, I mean, true, just complete soul searching was about 5-6 years ago. And it really impacted me. And I continued working on it. And I would go to retreats on my own. I would sit there and meditate on my own. I did a lot of soul searching, a lot of writing, a lot of crying, a lot of overcoming, a lot of dealing with anger issues, and really forgiving not only the situations, but forgiving myself. And not just saying, hey, I forgive you. Really focusing on that and really listening to my broken record and really changing my entire life. And I realized, wow, I know it takes time. I understand, but isn't it great to do it now instead of wait? Isn't it great to start putting in the effort right now instead of waiting and worrying and wondering and allowing our life to be manipulated by some negative stuff that we were told as a kid that we believed our whole life? So there I am in the MRI machine, and you know, we've gone one full hour, and we've got another 55 minutes. And they, you know, they pull you out of the little tube thing, and then they did a contrast where they put the stuff in an IV to be able to see better in the scan. And so they did that, and then they put you back in. And you kind of know, okay, this is the last few minutes. You know, this is it. And that's in perspective for you. But it's interesting how you sit there and go, you know what? It's interesting how still you had to be for this and how unstill we are in our daily lives. You know, when you do a lot of meditation, you understand what it is to be still, to be at ease, to be, you know, in that space. And as we're going and going with all these responsibilities and all this stuff in our life, we have a tendency of being unstill. And it's interesting when you are in a tube like that, how obvious it can be that maybe you haven't been doing as much prayer or meditation as you should to really focus that energy. You know, I also thought about it too, and I said to myself, this has been an interesting exercise in chilling out and overriding the mind, but also it was kind of like a restart. It was like a restart because the way you handle a situation like that directly reflects on your life. And it was interesting too how in every situation, sometimes you have to ask for help. For example, I couldn't have done that MRI on my own. I had to have somebody run the machine to put me in place, to set up the IV, all that stuff. And having a connection with that lady was very nice because I was able to speak with her and we had a dynamic connection immediately because I showed her respect and vice versa. And that's another thing that I've realized in life is a lot of us don't want any help from anybody. But how do we really do that? It's almost impossible to not have a little help from someone. But also one of the things we need to focus on is that when we do be around other people, it's so much nicer to show them respect and love. But how do you show them genuine love? Not romantic love, nothing like that, but just genuine compassion and love is when you show yourself directly that love. And you can begin by finding that love within yourself by really focusing on letting go of the judgments that you have about yourself, because you're the hardest judge on you, and you owe it to yourself to see all the amazing gifts that I see in you and that others see in you, because you are an amazing beacon of light that deserves to shine and shine bright. Check out my website, AshleyBurgess.com. Check me out on Spreaker, Stitcher, Google Play, and iHeartRadio. Live Your True Life Perspectives with me, Ashley Burgess. Be back in three shakes.
The opinions you hear on Biz Talk Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests, and do not necessarily reflect those of this station, Biz Talk Radio, its management, or advertisers. The information on Biz Talk Radio does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or service. If you have any questions about Biz Talk Radio, contact us at 817-274-1609 or at biztalkradio.com.
Biz Talk Radio.